the most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? To Paul, host and Ranker show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
We were talking in the last segment about Memphis Grizzlies guard Ja Morant getting suspended for legitimately a second time for a video of him being posted where he's brandishing a pistol, which is truly incredible. And naturally, we have a lot of well-actually gun guys on the text line. Didn't think this would happen. Someone points out, Paul, it's not Smith and Wesson. It's Smith and Wesson. Actually, you don't know what the real thing is. It's Smith and Walensky, you dumbass. Get it right. Smith and Lewinsky guns. Smith and Lewinsky guns. Okay? That's what it is. Also, people are acting like the trigger spot isn't a thing. It is. Trigger guard, no more. It's the trigger spot. 713-780-3776. 409, Josh texts in. Jaws immature and is lacking gun safety, but this particular incident was in a stationary vehicle and he was in the passenger seat. The reports he was driving around flexing his gun aren't really accurate. So he wasn't driving? Josh, you might have a career as a lawyer.
Yeah, he was riding around.
The problem is he's a five-year-old that loves guns and flexing them, and that he thinks that his life is constantly a music video. Do you think that like when he walks around the house, he imagines himself like going through it, like walking to the toilet in slow motion?
He definitely waves. He listens to music and waves around his gun in his house. Yes, 100%.
Do you think there's the NBA on ABC theme is playing in the background as he's just walking around his house? He's got a pistol in his ass crack and he's about to go take a leak. And he's slowly walking, and he might be wearing sweatpants, so he's not 100% sure if the gun's going to stay stationary. Ask Plaxico Burress about that, and all of a sudden, like, it moves for a second, and he's like, oh, damn, it's about to fall through my butt crack, and then all of a sudden, it might accidentally fire on me like I'm Plaxico. So then he has to, like, slow motion, like, save it from happening. That's what Ja Morant does when he walks around the house. HRW underscore S1W on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. What's wrong with Ja flexing his Second Amendment right? The problem is the NBA clearly hates it. Like, they gave him a really light slap on the wrist for the last time. This is not going to be a show where we're all like, yeah, let's all flex our pistols. Let's not do that.
Yeah, also, like, can you not do it in, like, the stupidest way possible, please? Like, yes, you could have Ja Morant. Hey, newsflash to everyone. Ja Morant is not the only NBA player that has guns, like, more than one gun. I'm guessing a lot of them have a lot of guns. How many Instagram lives do you see of these guys waving their guns around? How many times are they getting sued for beating up a teenager and then going in their house and pulling a gun out? How many times is that happening to anyone else? Anyone else?
Has this ever happened to you?
Anyone else in the NBA? There's 450 NBA players. Like, what are we... Like, this isn't a gun issue. This isn't a gun Second Amendment issue. This isn't if he was hunting... Yeah, if he was hunting, we wouldn't have any problem with it. Of course not. That's
stop
moronic.
Trying to take guns out of hardworking Americans' hands.
I'm trying to take it out of Ja Morant's hands.
No,
just on Instagram Live.
You may as well be Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez right now, just calling for an outright ban on guns. A text from Eric the Driver, Paulie G, the same man who thought Hakeem Olajuwon holding up his pee-covered hands would stop a bullet is now going to lecture Ja Morant on gun safety. I appreciate all the references that were pulled into one there, because Eric the Driver is a real one. Thomas and Katie has a thought at 713-780-3776. This show has progressed from James Harden coming back to Houston to gun control among athletes. Should athletes be allowed to brandish firearms on Instagram Live? Someone's got to step up. Charlton Heston. Is he still alive? Honestly, I have no idea. He's got to stand up. The NRA, they've got to stand up for people posting videos of themselves holding guns on Instagram Live. Thomas, what you got?
Oh, I was just going to say that you should have a plug on your commercials where you say, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do or anything like that, but you need to go buy a Smith & Wesson. And if you are going to go on Instagram Live, it needs to be a Smith & Wesson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or a Smith & Walensky or a Smith & Lewinsky, whatever it is. I'm not 100% sure, Thomas, but that could be a nice disclaimer to add. And again, Big Gun, I'm here for you. I will sell myself for that.
You just asked if Charleston Heston is still alive.
Is he dead?
He died in 2008.
Ah, damn. 15 years off.
He's been dead for most of my life.
Listen, as you can tell, this show is not, let's just say, always sure of what they're saying. We just say it confidently. We ask questions. We make old references. Damn, he's been dead for 15 years. Who's repping the NRA? I would assume that the NRA would have just been dissolved by now if Charlton Heston isn't there to defend it. Damn.
I'm just going to look up NRA spokesperson.
It's probably going to be someone boring at this point. Maybe it should be Ja Morant. That's his next career, his next calling. Are you in your car with your friend? Are you listening to Hit Him Up by Tupac? But you want people to know that you're hard? The best way to do it, brandish a firearm. That's how you do it. That's how you show you're tough. That's the Memphis Grizzlies grindhouse way. Right? That's the thing. Grit and grind.
Grit and grind.
Yeah. Grit and grind.
Grit and grind and gun.
That's the new addition to that. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes is laughing.
I'm looking at the NRA. I just looked up NRA spokesperson.
Yeah.
And 11 Hollywood stars in the NRA. I have no idea if this is...
Alec Baldwin?
I have no idea.
I'm just asking.
I don't think... He promotes safe gun ownership.
He definitely does not.
Yeah. I think that's
you can
really...
You do PSAs for it now.
That's really the issue here is, like, Ja Morant, go to, like, a gun training course, please. Honestly, like, just...
Or just don't bring it with you all the time.
Now who's trying to take guns out of the NBA?
Hire security.
That too. Like, you have, like, 9 people around you at all times. Why don't they hold the guns?
Do you think he would try to take the gun from security, too? He's like, hey, dude, just for a second. I got a sick Snapchat filter. It's like the puppy dog filter. He posts the puppy dog filter while he's always still holding a gun.
See, that would actually be funny. That's the thing. Like, he doesn't, it's not in a funny way. It's, man, I really love this new NBA Youngboy album. Let me wave the gun around while I'm rapping along.
How many sales do you think that we've made for Smith & Heston over the course of this last segment?
Smith & Heston?
Smith & Heston, yeah. What is it? Is it something else? I'm asking the question. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You're mixing up Charlton Heston and...
I went from Smith and...
Wesson.
Walensky to Smith and Wesson to Smith and Weston.
Yeah.
Smith and Heston.
Yeah.
They all sound the same.
There's a picture of Karl Malone and Chuck Norris on this NRA spokesperson.
Hell yeah, brother! What?
Yeah, that's why I was laughing.
Karl Malone, that is a surprise.
Oh, it's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise?
No, he's a hick.
Oh, okay.
Also, Tom Selleck.
Oh, see, Tom Selleck makes sense. Like, Tom Selleck, so Hawaii with Magnum P.I. back in the day, like, okay, that's one thing, because Tom Selleck was a sex symbol in the 80s, but now that he's doing Blue Bloods on CBS, like, that's the perfect guy who... You can have as your NRA spokesperson.
You got James Hetfield from Metallica and Whoopi Goldberg are two pictures that are back to back.
Wait, no way. No way.
In 2012, Whoopi Goldberg revealed on The View that she is a member of the NRA during an interview with libertarian writer and TV pundit John Stossel.
And she's still on The View?
Yeah.
I gotta say, Whoopi Goldberg surviving cancel culture. That is impressive.
I don't mind having to register and letting them know I have them. I want people to know that there's a way to... Yeah.
We're all over the place today. So.
James Earl Jones?
James Earl Jones.
All these are, like, pretty funny, too. Like, that's the thing.
713-780-3776 to call in. To text it as well.
Miranda Lambert?
James Harden. Should he be allowed back to the Houston Rockets? If you have any thoughts on this Astros weekend with another Rafael Montero show, they're welcome. The Texans had rookie minicamp. We're all over the place. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie. We've all been there before. You're about to go to the casino. for the weekend, and then you can't because real life got in the way. Well, MyBookie's new and improved online casino is changing the game. It's not just sports booking at MyBookie.ag. They've got a great casino, too, with realistic experience featuring slots, progressive jackpots, live dealer action, all from the comfort of your own home. Plus, weekly blackjack tournaments and a brand new collection of high-end games for a chance at real cash rewards. The MyBookie Casino provides a Las Vegas experience without all the travel and expenses. And the best part, you don't even need to wear pants. Ooh la la! Start your MyBookie Casino adventure today with a generous sign-up bonus. Promo code BET975 at MyBookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975 to get a deposit bonus. Their loyalty program will shower you with free spins. You get cash back offers and lots of exclusive VIP perks. The more you play, the more you win. Play anytime, anywhere with the MyBookie.ag casino experience. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for that deposit bonus.
Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You might have seen yesterday that James Harden, in a 3-for-11, 1-for-5 from outside, 5 turnover, 9-point performance. He had 11 points in game 6. My bad. And his Sixers blew a 3-2 lead to lose 112-88 to Boston, who now advances to the Eastern Conference Finals. And now we're all wondering, is James Harden about to return to the Rockets? There was a report today, Adrian Wojnarowski, I believe, while on TV with ESPN, said that it's still on the table. He remains very serious, in quotation marks, about returning to Houston. If you want to get a feel for Harden's future, here's what he said when asked about the season as a whole and what's next right after yesterday's loss.
I know, obviously, it's so fresh, but how would you just kind of summarize the season as a whole?
Our season is over, so sums it up right there.
Doc Rivers said even though you had a great regular season, the way it ends diminishes in some way the season. I mean, do you agree with that, the way it ends like this?
Yeah.
Do you think what will be the things you weigh when you decide what you're going to do this summer, both with your option and then what your future is if you opt out?
I haven't even thought about it, no.
I doubt that he hasn't thought about it. That's why Adrian Wojnarowski has been posting this stuff. I wonder about when. I think it's a matter of time before Harden comes back to Houston. I don't necessarily believe it's a lock that it'll be this coming season. And a lot of it just has to do with Harden's tone in yesterday's press conference. And to sum it all up so you don't have to go through all of this audio again, basically, when asked about where they're at right now, he said, I'm disappointed. There's a lot I want to say. And said that his relationship with Doc Rivers is okay. I feel like he's out on Doc Rivers. Rivers says he intends to return next year. Good luck with that. But Harden also in that press conference said, well, it was really only our first year together. And you heard from Joel Embiid after the game while saying it can't be just James and I doing all the work for the team. Embiid also sucked in game 7. I get the feeling that they want to try this one more time. At least one more time. I think Embiid and Harden like each other. So I think that they will probably try this one more time. And then after that, Harden could theoretically come back to Houston. Now, if the Rockets get the number one spot in the lottery and all of a sudden they're going to have Victor Wembanyama next year, maybe Harden thinks differently. So tomorrow, if the Rockets get that number one overall pick, maybe it changes things a little bit. But I leave yesterday not only thrilled with the fact that James Harden's team was eliminated again and that he did what we are so used to seeing him do, what he did in the playoffs. I also don't think it is a foregone conclusion that he will be back in Houston this coming season. And I think we can all celebrate that. Because I don't think anyone really wants Harden back unless you just want to have a more watchable basketball product.
And for me, I just think that James Harden plays the game with no honor. None. Always looking for that angle to game the game. Flops, stopping in the middle of play, waiting for the referees to make a call. They don't make every single call, but the amount of times that he does it over the course of a playoff game where he's just stopping in the middle. It's not like it's unique to just him, but there are very few in the league who do it more than him. Trae Young is maybe the only person who's about on the same level when it comes to manipulating the actual game itself. So you want to weigh in on that, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. I would tell Rafael Stone, no. No. Just don't do it. I get it. You got a lot of money. Maybe you want to make the team a little bit more relevant. I don't think Harden is going to bring as many fans back to the team as perhaps the Rockets believe. Because when Harden was back, Harden was booed. I think that they've got to really take a look at the super rabid online Rockets fan community and realize that is a tiny fraction of this city's fan base. If he comes back, this is not going to be a grand welcoming like it was when LeBron James first came back to Cleveland. This isn't the prodigal son returns. This is a guy who had a really good career here, but never won anything and constantly disappointed in the playoffs. And he also had an organization bend over backwards for him before he quit on them and forced his way out of town. All of those things happened. You can't deny it. Something that happened on Saturday night has me wondering when Dusty Baker is going to do something, because the Astros did take 2 of 3 from the White Sox over the weekend. You would have thought, hey, okay, we're going into a series and the guys on the hill, it's going to be Brandon Belak and it's going to be JP France and Hunter Brown. Like, there's a chance you don't win that series, but the Astros did win 2 of 3. But what's interesting is what happened late on Saturday night, because Brandon Belak, my God, the guy gives up a ton of hits. He gave up 8 hits in this one, 10 hits the last outing, but he only allowed 1 run. So it's a 1-1 game entering the bottom of the 8th inning. Guess who came into the game to pitch on Saturday night? And he's lucky he did it, as I was transporting myself from one location to another, because I leave this restaurant about 5 minutes away. It's a pizza place up in the Heights. I forget the name. It was actually pretty good. And we get to this bar on 19th Street called Providence Bar. We get inside, and all of a sudden, it's 3-1. And I'm like, what the hell happened? So I look at my phone, and I'm like, Montero happened. Rafael Montero came in the 8th inning, and he allowed 2 runs. And blew a 1-1 game. Is he the reason that the Astros lost on Saturday? Yes. Could they have had a sweep over the weekend? Yes. Did they get it? No. And Rafael Montero is just lucky that happened on a Saturday night, because it's not quite as fresh on the mind. At what point is Dusty Baker going to do something? I mean, we have been in the give him the, quote, rehab stint, end quote, so that he can center himself. And maybe the fact that the Astros have as many injuries in their pitching staff is the reason that they're unwilling to do it. But something's up with Montero. Clearly, this has been an all-year problem. And yeah, it's pretty similar to the guy that I saw in Seattle. And it does have me wondering if that's who he truly is. But if you think he's not that guy, don't you think some time away from the mound would do him some good? This is not working. This is not helping. Please stop pitching him, for the love of God. Please. But otherwise, over the weekend, the Astros did take 2 of 3. Yordan Alvarez is in the middle of an 11-game hitting streak. Kyle Tucker's been heating up over the last couple of games, and you got pretty good pitching, considering the guys that you put up on the hill were Hunter Brown, who'd give up a lot of hits, but he did have 8 strikeouts on Friday, Brandon Belak on Saturday, and then JP France. 6 2/3, 3-hit ball despite a rain delay. How about that? Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can also join us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, or twitch.tv/ESPN975. From the 713, are the Rockets trying to make the situation with James Harden similar to LeBron James leaving and then returning to Cleveland? You can't make it similar because LeBron won multiple titles in Miami. You just can't.
It's also like, yeah, no, it's not the same.
It would be a poor read, Sean, from a PR perspective if they think that he will be welcomed with enthusiasm. There will be some who are happy he is back. There will be others who are like, hey, at least the basketball team will be a little bit better. But they're not all of a sudden, with James Harden aboard, going to be like the 5 seed or the 4 seed, yeah, regardless of what they do in the draft. They are like a lot. They are a play-in tournament team with Harden. Like, and we're talking like 10 or 11 or 9 in the Western Conference.
So first, LeBron in 2014, so much better than James Harden right now. Just that's reason number one. It's not the same.
Yes.
It's because they went from having the number one pick to immediately being in the finals for the next 4 years.
Correct.
Also, LeBron James, famously from the Cleveland
actually
area,
from there.
Yes.
But Harden says that Houston is his home now.
Cool.
He's got family that lives here, and he likes a lot of the local scene. Interpret that as you may.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron was viewed as like the savior of like not just like that franchise, but like of that like area of America, and so yeah, him, James Harden coming back like would not be the same.
Dick Willey on twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, "Could you imagine if Harden came here with Kyrie Irving? I would sign up for that. That would be fun. That would be fun. It would be. I mean, I'd be angry all the time on the radio, but I would like. I would be low key appreciating like Kyrie Irving and James Harden for their service.
Yeah,
because that would be. It would be fun. The basketball would occasionally be good.
Yeah,
but it would be crazy. Kyrie Irving, by the way, seems like he would love Texas. He really does. I mean, he was on the Dallas Mavericks, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he would enjoy like living in one of the cities in Texas. I don't feel like he would really love living out like in the middle of nowhere.
Hmm.
I don't feel like he has rural sensibilities.
I got an idea to look. Maybe would you rather have Kyrie or James Harden? See, that's the real
James Harden.
Sophie's choice.
James Harden, without a doubt. I just don't want to have to deal with Kyrie. I just don't want to care about what Kyrie Irving thinks.
But there's a part of me that enjoys it.
I can enjoy it from afar. I don't need my job to actually be caring about what Kyrie Irving does.
Look, Kyrie Irving, when he's on playing basketball, is much more enjoyable for me to watch than James Harden.
He's also worse.
And James Harden, let's be honest, is boring until the playoffs begin. And that's when this happens. Or he has the game one and the game four that he had. Kyrie Irving, there is content, there is excitement all season long. So I've got an idea. And everyone knows that I'm the most important University of Houston Cougar here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Honorary Cougar. I jumped on the bandwagon. Jeremy Branham's paid to root for the University of Houston, and he went there. Jeez. Yeah, can't be me. I have an idea. Offer Kyrie Irving some professorial experience at the University of Houston. I'm not sure if that's a word. It's fine. We're going to
make him a guest lecturer.
Kyrie Irving is going to be a lecturer at the University of Houston. Would you not sign up for that? I would sign up for that. I would take notes. I would do a report, like live from the classroom afterwards. I do a stand-up. I'm standing outside of, I don't know, insert a classroom at the University of Houston. I'm standing outside and Kyrie Irving has told us that the Gilgamesh alien race is actually the reason that there are Jews in the United States. Like that's what I'm here for. It's not going to make any sense, but it would be, I think Kyrie Irving would be more entertaining than James Harden.
How many classes would it take for Kyrie, and just assume they're like an hour-long lectures from Kyrie Irving, for the word reptilian to be said in reference to a certain type of people?
Oh, I don't know if I'm not sure if he believes in lizard people.
Yes. I'm not putting any boundaries on what Kyrie. Why are you putting boundaries on Kyrie Irving can or can't believe? I think he can believe anything.
If Kyrie Irving wanted to do a radio show with me, I would sign up so quickly. And he would be patronizing to me and forget my name every single time. Yeah. Don't even care.
And there'd be a lot of like, you probably won't understand this, but, and then he'll talk for 15 straight minutes about stuff that makes no sense.
Yeah. And I'll just like say like, this segment was brought to you by Smith & Wolensky Guns. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in or text. So we've touched on Ja Morant's brandishing a gun on Instagram Live addiction. The Astros winning 2 of 3, but Rafael Montero still annoying me enough to bury that lead that they'd won 2 of 3. And a possibility of Harden returning to Houston. It's all on the table on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
DeMeco Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans. They had a rookie mini camp over the weekend. Here he is talking about his philosophy on winning.
Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
Wait, my bad. That's Dom Toretto. Guys, Fast 10. It's coming out on Friday. Sean Mapes and I are obsessed with this franchise. And yes, it is a franchise that has gone from being realistic in The Fast and the Furious to being completely preposterous. And that's what makes it so great. I'm really excited about Fast 10, which is going to be the first of a three-part finale.
They need what? How many hours is that? They need like 7 hours, 7 or 8 hours to wrap this up.
I think they need more.
I mean, they're not going to stop. Like, they're not going to stop at what that'd be Fast 12. Like, they're maybe like it stops like in the, you know, like how Star Wars, like how, it's just a new trilogy now. It's like they're just, it's not going to stop.
If they're not doing it in souped up with nitro rascal scooters when they're in their 80s.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely going to be like Red or whatever. Red's the
yes,
old,
a Red,
old people action movie.
Or the franchise that Sylvester Stallone, The Expendables,
yes.
started.
I mean, it's almost The Expendables at this point. They're the young Expendables.
It's not quite. Don't you dare say that. It's so funny that this is a franchise that's gone from a movie about an undercover cop who is trying to stop a bunch of guys who are hijacking trucks to
steal the DVDs.
This whole group has gotten together and is now flying cars in outer space. That happened in the last one. They
flew a car to outer space.
But they were in outer space. They were in it. Okay? It's such a dumb... I love the franchise. I just love it so much. I can't wait. By the way, DeMeco Ryans actually did speak at the Friday availability after it had just been announced what the Texans' schedule was going to be. For those who don't know, 0 primetime games this season. Here's what DeMeco Ryans had to say that wasn't that far off from a coach speak perspective from what you just heard from old Dom Toretto.
For us as a team, we have to go out and earn our right to be in those primetime moments. So it's a good opportunity for our team to just go out, just put our head down and work, and just to prove where we belong.
Hell yeah. They got to earn primetime. You're right. You're right. See, there's a reason that people keep coming to see Fast and Furious movies, even if they're all completely dumb. It's because they've earned it. They have earned their place. And yeah, really the only redeeming quality of any of the movies over the last, like, five is when they had a nice tribute to Paul Walker with a little Wiz Khalifa in there. When I see you again. But here's the thing. they put the pelts on the wall. Texans haven't. So you get why they're not in prime time. Fast 10, prime time. Houston Texans, nope.
With that, how much entertainment and just absolute joy that the Fast and Furious franchise has given me, like, literally, they have earned my money.
They
like,
have.
They can make 15 more movies, and I still think it would be worth it for me to spend $15 to go buy a movie ticket every single time.
It's such a ridiculous franchise. I mean, the entire premise is Dom Toretto has created this group
of
weird people who are all connected in some way, even though some have killed each other, etc., and then they come back to life.
And criminals.
And he calls them family. And I'll keep watching. You're right, Sean. They've earned our dollar.
They've earned it.
We know what they're going to do, you know? And what's more entertaining? Watching James Harden with the Houston Rockets lose in the playoffs and playing the style he does? Or mindless, dumb action featuring Vin Diesel in a, I think he's serious role. It's the latter.
Yeah, I mean, those two options were basically my life in high school and college. And let me tell you, I enjoyed Fast and Furious way more.
As the week goes on, we're going to force a lot of Fast and Furious references. Well, listen, for some people, it will be forced. Like, they're going to be like, wait, what? But it's coming out this weekend. I still haven't seen Too Fast, Too Furious. They don't even have Vin Diesel in that one. That's the only one that Vin Diesel's not in.
Such an oversight by you. He's also barely in Tokyo Drift.
But he is in Tokyo Drift. And you're like, as
like a Marvel, like, he will, like, the next one's going to have Vin Diesel.
Fast and Furious walked so the Avengers and Marvel could fly. Everyone knows this. That's true. That's true. You're pushing back on this a little bit.
No, I'm not. Yeah, they have a. You can make the case.
Really quick note on something the Houston Texans actually did this weekend: signing Shaquille Griffin, cornerback who used to play for the Seattle Seahawks. He was with the Jaguars the last couple of years. They signed him to a ridiculous deal: 3 years, $44.5 million. Shaquille Griffin's a good player. I don't know that he's a great corner. Obviously, the Jaguars paid him thinking that he could be that, but Shaquille Griffin's a good player. Wait, I like that signing a lot.
Wait, the Texans didn't pay him 3 years, $40 million.
The Jaguars did.
Oh, okay.
The Jaguars did in 2021, and I remember there was talk about whether or not the Seahawks should have matched that, and I said, no, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, they're very good at coaching up defensive backs. They should probably let Shaquille Griffin walk for that price. This is a very Jaguars move as well, where you're spending big in free agency, and then a couple of years later, you're moving on from the guy entirely. But if you're signing this guy to a minimum deal?
1 year, sorts? $3 million.
Yeah, that's great. That's great, really.
Just get a body in there. An NFL.
It's more
cornerback.
Than a body. He's I think he will challenge. I mean, again, it's not like this is the biggest battle, but the corner opposite Derek Stingley is Steven Nelson. I think you could make a case that he's better as a corner than Steven Nelson. I'm a little bit biased because I watched the guy play in Seattle, and obviously Seattle runs their defense in a very specific way and have for a long time where there's a lot of cover three going on, but Griffin did play a little bit of man. I like that signing a lot. I really do. 1 year, $3 billion. I think that's a good move. So good job by Nick Caserio not going for the big priced items in free agency. A guy like this becomes available. He gets released by the Jaguars. You bring him in. Shout out to St. Petersburg High School Football. What's up?
Would you say that it's a good addition to the Houston Texans family?
Family.
Okay.
100%.
Let's all say grace.
Because, again, well, Sean, we will say grace. You know why? Because anyone who's played high school football in St. Petersburg, Florida, is a bleeping boss. Lakewood High School, that's where Shaquille Griffin went to. Paul Gallant, Shorecrest Preparatory School. We're building a culture here. Up next on the Paul Gallant Show, we got a little bit of garbage time. And if you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant. I'm too fast for y'all,
man. Little Luda. Ja Morant's got to be so bummed out hearing this song, knowing that this could have been him.
Ja Rule.
Did I say Ja Morant? My bad. Ja Morant suspended from the Memphis Grizzlies for pulling out a gun again on Instagram. Whoops. Ja Rule, famous rapper, could have been in the entirety of this Fast and Furious movie franchise. Instead, he done bleeped up. He got replaced for Too Fast, Too Furious by Ludacris. We're getting some texters on this Monday, May 15th, and I'm a little bit disappointed in our listeners. I thought that we had a little bit more culture. I really did. There's a lot of criticism on the text line for the Fast and Furious movie franchise. Fast and the Furious movies are lame. Never watched any of them past the second one. Then how would you know? How would you know? Another texter. Literally the worst franchise in the history of movies. I mean, here's a take. And I'm actually somewhat serious.
I think I know where you're going. I think it's one I agree with.
Star Wars had a great episode 4 through 6.
They made 2.5 good movies.
I like Revenge of the Sith as well. 1 and 2 are objectively bad. But the latest trilogy was so bad that some people think that the prequel trilogy might have been better. The Boba Fett show sucked. Mando's been pretty good. Andor's been pretty good. Star Wars as a franchise, pound for pound, versus the Fast and Furious franchise, Fast and Furious wins. They never try to change the formula up. Star Wars has, many times. The big problem's been the one constant, George Lucas can't write a script. Fast and Furious or Star Wars? I mean, could Fast and Furious do Star Wars? Probably. Probably.
They could, yeah, they could. I mean, they've already ventured to space, so, you know.
And I love the Star Wars franchise, but let's not act like they haven't been a lot of disappointing.
Like, there's only
3
good movies. Let's not act like there's only, the first 3, and then Revenge of the Sith is all right towards the end.
Yep.
That's it. That's what we're dealing with.
Yep. It gets good when Anakin Skywalker kills children. Like, think about that. The prequel trilogy. Up to that point, not so good. But then it does escalate. And the end of Revenge of the Sith is pretty damn awesome.
Meanwhile, you got The Fast and The Furious. You got Too Fast, Too Furious.
Mm-hmm. You got Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. A texter says Tokyo Drift was awful. Actually, Tokyo Drift is pretty good.
I was going to say, rewatch it. It's all right.
Still
it's all
grounded right. in reality. You just don't love the actors. But the action?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
The fourth one's pretty weak. Fast 5.
That's Brazil.
One of the all-time great movies.
It's great.
One of the all-time. They drag a bank full of dirty drug dealer money through the streets of Rio de Janeiro. And The Rock is trying to chase them.
Right.
What? How is that bad? In what way is that bad? That's good. That is a good movie.
Texter. The Fast and Furious franchise has turned into the video game Saints Row. Started out cool with guns and cars. I actually get this reference. Saints Row was like a crazy version of Grand Theft Auto. By the last game, you were flying cars through space. What's wrong with that? Once you accept that the Fast and Furious franchise is completely stupid, you will love it. It's mindless, dumb entertaining. You should be laughing at half the stuff they do. It's so over the top.
Yes,
that's the point.
The mental state that you should be in walking into the theater is, what are these guys going to do this time? That's all it has to be is, what are these guys going to do this time?
Another text. Bro, Fast and Furious isn't even about racing anymore. You're right.
Could you imagine if they made 10 movies about drag racing?
Yeah. It would get old after a while. And look, technically, we are sticking to sports by talking about a racing movie franchise.
There we go.
These clowns are jumping cars across buildings. The last good movie was the one with Paul Walker. They should have stopped at that movie. The ones after that is just a trash-ass money grab by Vin Diesel and the gang. That's from Marky Mark in Spring.
7 is the last, like, awesome one. I will say that.
Yeah, that's true.
8, step down, still pretty good, step down. 9 was, ugh.
They've been off. But it's still good. You just have to go in with an open mind.
For all the people on the text line that hate these movies and haven't seen them, Fast 9, they try to convince us that Vin Diesel and John Cena are brothers.
They look just alike, though.
that's where this movie has... What's more unrealistic? The idea that Vin Diesel and John Cena could be blood-related, or that Ludacris and Tyrese flew a car to space? What is honestly more unbelievable? I think it's John Cena and Vin Diesel being brothers.
I can see it. They both got muscles. That's what Vin Diesel was thinking to himself, like, biceps?
Also,
does he do curls? Yeah, we're brothers.
Also, there's a flashback scene in that movie. I know I don't have to explain this to you, Paul. I'm explaining to the listeners, who, again, don't like these movies but have never seen them. There's a flashback scene in that movie where the actors that they get to play young Dom Toretto and young John Cena's character look even farther apart, look even less like each other than Vin Diesel and John Cena.
We never established that they're 100% brothers, though, did we?
They don't even look like they could be half brothers. Because you also see Vin Diesel's dad. None of those three people look alike.
Just don't think about it. You're not, like, whenever you apply critical thinking to a movie like this, you're just gonna, this is a time that you can just shut your brain off, watch, and appreciate it for what it is. And laugh occasionally. This is why I love Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is in a lot of terrible movies, but you know what you're getting with Nicolas Cage every single time. And that consistency is commendable. James Harden, not that consistent.
Well, no, he's consistent in the bad way. You know he's going to stink in the elimination
game. But James Harden, at the very least, like from time to time, like in this series, convinces people, wait, it's different. It shouldn't convince anybody, but Harden's going to let you down, and the inconsistency is what drives you crazy about him.
But Fast and
Furious is always consistent. It's consistently mindless, dumb action.
The consistency with Harden, though, is that in Game 6 and 7, you know it's going to be stink fest. Like, that's what I'm saying is consistent. Like, you know that, like, when either team has three wins in a series, James Harden is out.
It is nuts. I mean, they were up 3-2, and they had Game six. They had game
yeah,
six.
Yeah, honestly, like,
they had it.
Blowing game six, like, that's where they lost the series. Like, winning game seven on the road is, like, so hard to do, especially when Doc Rivers is your coach and James Harden is your second best player.
It's
like,
hard.
That losing game six at home, that's what should haunt Philly fans.
Let's wrap it up with a little bit of garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Okay, so we need to talk about John Morant one more time. I mean, good God, how did this happen? Who thought it would be a good idea to just record a video while with John Morant? Just that. If you're one of his friends, why are you posting anything that he does publicly? And much like you expect James Harden to wilt in a big time moment in the playoffs, much like you expect the Fast and Furious franchise to be mindless, dumb entertainment, you have to expect that Ja Morant's gonna pull out a gun. It's just what he does. And you gotta respect the consistency. But imagine being suspended twice in your NBA career for brandishing a gun on social media.
Someone said that the gun just popped out of nowhere, like John Morant hit R1 in GTA, where it just, he just equipped it, like, just out of nowhere, just throws his gun in his hand.
It happened!
Because they did show him one time, no gun. Go back to Ja's friend. Go back to John Morant. Gun. And you're just like, whoa.
It's just too good. It's hard to believe that this is what culture is in 2023. Basketball players getting suspended for pulling out guns. But here's where we are. So, Ja, try wooden guns going forward. That's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to our texters, our callers, and our Twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace!
I said forget about it, cuz.